Probably the most familiar text in the entire Bible is the Lord's Prayer, but the second most familiar is the 23rd Psalm. My grandmother would always ask us to repeat it during our Thanksgiving grace, and we would get to, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and then we didn't know the rest. But this will be familiar to you. And it reeks of familiarity, and that causes a wall between us and the text. So soften into these words. Soften into the words of comfort and the words of challenge. Listen to the word of our God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God makes me to lie down in green pastures. God leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. God leads me in the paths of righteousness for that great name's sake. Even though I shall walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The comforting word of life. Thanks be to God. I think of this Sunday, which happens once every 3 weeks or every 3 years, as Shepherd Sunday. In three of the four lectionary texts, there is something said about sheep or shepherds. In Ezekiel, God goes and speaks through the prophets to the high priests. The high priests were supposed to be caring for the people, but the people were starving while the high priest lived lavishly. And God says through the prophet Ezekiel, you were to take my people Israel as your sheep, but you have ignored them. So I will take them from you, and I will be their shepherd. In the text in John, which is the gospel text for this Sunday, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd and says, I call my sheep by name and they follow me. And this is an interesting thing because a friend of mine went to the Middle East not long ago and he said there are still these large sheep pens where at night all these shepherds will put all of their sheep into the same pen. And there aren't gates, but the shepherds will sit in front of the gates. They will become the gates. And then in the morning, shepherds will be in different parts of this pen and call their sheep. And because the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, they will all go out and follow the appropriate shepherd. That's astonishing, and that's about intimacy, and that's about care. But the sad thing is, sheep don't have a good reputation. Sheep are known for being stupid. I talked to my veterinarian about this one time, and I said, is it true that sheep are stupid? And he said, well, it's more like they think differently. So if one gets spooked and jumps over a cliff, the whole herd follows that sheep over the cliff. And we're referred to as the sheep of God, like it or not. In the end times, there's this great text where it says Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. And I don't know about you, but when I read that text, I look around me and all I see is sheep. It's like, yeah, we're the sheep. But I have to admit, if I press into that text, that there's enough goatness in me that I can't always feel comfortable in that right herd. But the thing is about sheep is they're so astonishingly vulnerable. If you've ever seen a field of baby lambs, then you can see how vulnerable they are. And they only can work when they're in a herd and not separated. And today, this beautiful text of comfort comes to us and says, God is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some texts translate it, God is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. It's a sigh of the soul. It's contentment. And I just want to ask you, when was the last time you were content? When was the last time you allowed yourself to be content about your lives? Because we live in a society and our whole economy is based on buy more, consume more, get more. Because your self-esteem derives not from who you are, but what you get. A bigger television, a more efficient refrigerator, buy, buy, buy. And so we're always striving, we're always working to get more and more and more. And we miss this day. We miss what's in front of us. God is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Do you want to guess how much money Americans spend every year on storage units? To contain our junk that just sits there? $22.5 billion a year to store our junk. Now that says to me that there is a spiritual problem in our society when we constantly have to get more. AA refers to it as a God-sized hole. But what if we could just spend our whole lives working on that one sentence of Psalm 23? God is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And if you don't think you have everything you need, practice gratitude. The clearest way to get rid of shame is to practice gratitude. And here's the thing about gratitude. The more you recognize you have, the more you'll recognize what you have. Most of us fear living just a normal life, just an everyday average life. But when people go through a trauma, do you know what they say to me? I lost my child. I would give anything to hear them fighting in the back seat just one more time. That man that I was married to for 48 years, I constantly said, would you get up and take out the trash? I'd give anything to see him sitting in his comforter more time. It's the everydayness that life is about. And if we're constantly striving for more, we're going to miss the thing in front of us. God is our shepherd. We don't have to want. There was an economist who did a study, and he said that he applied this mostly to women because I think it's gendered more towards women. But if all the women in the United States would give up makeup and dietary supplements for 1 week, it would cause an economic crash not unlike what the airline industry went through after 9/11. 1 week. This $87 billion industry depends on everyone feeling badly about themselves. Right? God is our shepherd. We have all we need. We have all we need. One of the things that I love when people want to join this community of faith is they will constantly refer to this one thing. And they'll say, when I walked in the door, I knew I found home. We have what we need. We have what we need. We need love. It's here in abundance. Hospitality, doing a good job. We have what we need. And when I pray for this community of faith, I tend to think in terms of archetypes because I think it gets out of the psychological and into the spiritual. And the prayer I pray for this community of faith is, God, put us under the archetype of the servant. The servant. Because when we can say to the community, Oklahoma City, you're welcome here. And when we can show love and hospitality and then practice servanthood, got all we need. We've got all we need. There's a woman who teaches in the agriculture department at Kansas State University, and she has a sustainable farm, and she has sheep on it. And so I asked her if I could help her during the sheep shearing season, and she let me do it. And I asked her about sheep. This is one of the things I love about my job. I spent the whole week reading about sheep. And she said, a sheep has one stomach, but four chambers. And it will chew the grass, regurgitate it, chew it again, called chewing the cud. But it has to do that in order for the food to pass from one chamber to the other. Just sometimes the food seems like it's getting stuck, so I make them lie down. God makes us lie down in green pastures. And she goes, but here's the thing. They won't lie down unless they feel safe. They have to feel safe. God makes us lie down in green pastures. God restores our soul. Sheep are afraid of running water, especially fast running water. Leads me beside still waters. The Israelites were not known for being seafaring creatures. And that's why there's this beautiful image in the book of Revelation about the crystal sea. The crystal sea. God leads us there if we're willing to listen and be led. And who of us has not walked through that dark valley, the shadow of death? You can't be alive very long and not know what that's about. Sometimes it's woundedness, sometimes it's loss of a partner, sometimes it's loss of a parent, sometimes it's loss of a job. It's about crucifixion, it's about death, it's about loss. But even in that moment, the psalmist says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I went into a soldier's room the other day and I said, so what brings you into the hospital? And he said, I have stage 4 brain cancer. I'm terminal. I'm going to die. I've never met a more contented man. He's only 66. And he's prepared. He said, I'm not going to worry about this. I talked to the man upstairs. Whatever happens, happens. I'm just not going to worry about it. That's a man who knows what it's like to walk through that valley and know what it's like to be accepted and comforted. And finally it ends, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will live in the house of God forever. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Fred Craddock says sometimes preachers just need to be able to put something out there that people already know so that they can say amen. But in this moment, you are loved. You are whole. You are safe. And you have all that you need. And that's a pretty good thing.